Out. This is Jamie.
And this is Shanice. We hope you enjoy the episode we have on deck for you today.
Yeah, it's really nice. Great place, which is called...
Morovino. You forgot.
I forgot. I always forget. Anyways, great label. I'll never forget the label. It has like a cute little bird on it. We'll show you guys a picture
later. It's a hawk, not a duck.
No, it was a really, really nice experience. The owner winemaker is great. Tons of personality and like down to earth. Had lots of little stories and anecdotes to go with her wine. And the wine was really good. I think overall it was delicious.
Yeah, we had a really good time. It is in downtown Avila, right on Front Street. Pretty easy to find. The only difficulty might be parking on a busy weekend.
Yeah, definitely like Monday afternoon for us was perfect.
Yeah, in January.
Tons of parking. My favorite thing, well, my favorite wine was the Sangiovese, but the white wines are the exact same grape. She just treated them differently. And I'm like so fascinated by that. Like I think it's cool she told us.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked everything on the tasting menu, and I think the Bella Rosa, which is like the blend of Barbera and Sangiovese, was my favorite.
Yeah.
But yeah,
they were all good.
We had a really good time. And we hope that if you guys are in Avila that you'll stop in and pay them a visit.
Especially after you like hear our experience. I think that'll make it like more intriguing for you to go.
Yeah. And also cool thing is they do cheese plates. We didn't do like a cheese plate and wine pairing, but it sounds like they have a cheese that's paired to each wine, which sounded very interesting.
Yeah, I'd definitely like want to go back and do that.
Yeah, because they had a truffle goat.
Yeah, I think so.
And that sounded really good.
Yeah.
But a great stop, you guys. You should definitely check it out if you happen to be in Avila.
Yep.
We hope that you enjoyed this episode, and we will rejoin you at the end to give you our final thoughts and impressions.
Yeah, enjoy.
Cool, see ya. Because you did not used to look. Oh yeah, you didn't used to look like your driver's license.
Yeah, I know. The other day I was at Foods for Less, and this girl was like, "Well, you look exactly the same in real life.
Your hair is in a ponytail."
Pretty much. Yeah.
Man, you did not used to get that with your blonde driver's license.
No.
People thought it was fake.
Yes.
I like that people can like build their own flight. That's pretty cool.
You know, it's like I'm not gonna force people to taste something that they don't want. Although I will say that occasionally I use my powers of persuasion only for good to try to get them to try something. For a while we had a dry rosé on the tasting list. It was actually my favorite wine I ever made. I loved that wine. It was rosé Pinot Grigio.
Ooh.
But because it was pink, we had a lot of people who'd come and go, "Oh, I don't want to taste that." I'm like, no, it's a dry rosé. They're like, "I don't care, it's pink, I don't want to taste it." I'm like, "All right." And there are some people who go, "Oh, it's pink, I can't wait to taste it." And I'm like, "It's a dry rosé." Like, "Oh, I want it." And I'm like, "Oh, that's way too dry." I ended up taking 8 cases of that home and drinking it myself.
Hey.
One of the perks, right?
No kidding. Winemaker's prerogative. So I'm going to start you at the top of the list with Beach Blonde. The first of 2 Pinot Grigios. We specialize in Italian varietals. We love how food friendly they are. This one is classic Italian style Pinot Grigio. So nice minerality to it, great acidity. Still very easy to drink because that's the best thing about Pinot Grigios.
So you had a large group this morning. How big of groups can you accommodate?
Today we had 22, which is just about as big as we want to do. And it was more of a social group. If we're doing a wine tasting group that where the focus is on wine tasting, not so much on just being social together, then we'd like to focus maybe 15 as our max.
Okay.
We are very, very... We really, really want to give people a good wine tasting experience.
Yeah.
And it is always me behind the bar or me and my husband for bigger groups. And it's It's like bigger than that. It's just, it's too hard to give everybody exactly what they want.
Yeah. Felt like the name was really fitting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really am intrigued by the tomatillo salsa pairing.
Oh, each one loves really, really bright flavors, and it stands up to them very, very well. It's one of the reasons we like doing Italian varietals, because they're just very food-friendly. Also pretty tasty all on their own. So this is also Pinot Grigio. These are the same grapes, harvested at the same time, crushed at the same time, and then we just treated them a little differently. So two different yeasts, which brings a lot to the flavor party. The Beach Blonde yeast is classic for bringing pear and apple notes to a wine. The yeast we used in this one is classic for bringing tropical fruit and stone fruit to a wine. We also arrested this fermentation a little tiny bit early. So it's got just a kiss of residual sugar in it, not enough to make it sweet, just enough to make it viscous, which makes really smooth mouthfeel.
Cool.
Got to bust out my $2 word. Most times I just say thick.
Wow, it's really interesting that that's the same grape.
Yeah.
Because it is totally different.
Totally different wine. Super fun. Both of them very easy to drink. Beach Blonde, very mm-hmm. easy to drink. Pinot Grigio goes down like juice. Sometimes we refer to it as beach juice. Not when the Harbor Patrol is around. So how long have you two had your blog and your podcast going?
We started in December, and then we launched in January, so right now. So
yeah, cool. Almost 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. So we're working on doing an app as well.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Totally the way to go.
Yeah. I think it'll be fun. Like, there's a few other things like it, but none of them really have personality. So yeah. We thought it might be fun to, like,
bring some life to it, bring like a perspective rather than just a, here's all the 300 places you can go. Like we give a little bit of direction to it.
Well, yeah, and it's nice because it'll be more curated. So as you develop your following, people who have the same palates as you do will be able to
trust us a little.
Exactly. We're going to go where they went.
Right.
Yeah. Their wines are good.
Yeah. So it's just like a lot of building.
How long have you been here?
So Moromino has been in Avila Beach for 10 years, but this is our third location. We've been working our way closer to the water each time, and now we have to stop unless I want to pour wine off a stand-up paddleboard at the end of the pier, and I'm too old for that.
I'm really fascinated knowing that those are the same grapes, because I would never in a million years have thought that.
Isn't that the most fun ever?
That is.
I'm also really into these recipes that you have. That's really cool.
I love to cook. I've been cooking since I was 10. Before I started making wine, that was my favorite thing in the world to do. Now it's a tie. All right, moving on to the red portion of our program. Sangiovese. It's a bit deceptive. It is extremely light in color. I think most other winemakers would have put a dose of Mega Purple in there and jazzed it up. But hey, you know what? When you're a small production winery and everything is through the tasting room, nobody walks out of here without getting the story of the wine. So I don't have to do stuff.
So is this the only place where you can find your wines?
Yes. We are way too small to interest a distributor. We do about 2,000 cases of wine a year. So it is 100% through the tasting room right now.
That's awesome. I like that.
I like it too. I like to talk about my wine. And especially because we have varietals that are a little bit different, you know. It's good to be able to have people either taste it or learn the story of it before they walk away with it.
It smells really good.
So this one, very light in the glass, but hey, you know what? It's a big, big mouthful of yummy.
Oh, it is.
We sent to Fromagerie Sophie. Because she has we do a cheese tasting plate with her. And it's Cheese Disneyland. And she has a truffled cheese as well, which we actually decided to put on the plate, which I did not do lightly because that is such a lingering flavor.
Yeah.
But oh, it goes so well with the Bella
Rosa. I did a champagne and cheese pairing class in Santa Barbara one time, and they had that brie. I don't remember who makes it, but they literally just like slice the brie in half, put truffles in the middle, and then squish it back together, and it's pretty good. I think it would be even better with white truffle just because it's a little milder.
Yeah.
But they do with black, and it was still quite tasty.
I think I have a hard time imagining that with a sparkling wine, though.
It was really good. I want to say, I can picture.
Sparkling is a really good food pairing, because especially if you get something with like really high acidity.
Yeah, because they typically have a little bit more acidity.
It was a Prosecco that they paired
that's
it
kind
with.
Of interesting.
Really? I know.
That's really interesting.
I know. I was not, I was like, I can't believe I paid for this when I saw like the list. I was appalled, and I'm, as you can imagine, not quiet about my being appalled. But it was the driest Prosecco I've ever had. I've bought it since then, but it's like a black label, and it has little stripes on it, and the writing goes this way, but I don't know what it says. The cheese shop in Santa Barbara has it. But it was fantastic, and I was very, very skeptical.
Interesting.
I would have expected them to put it with like a true champagne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even like a sparkling, like not Prosecco, but it was very good.
Wow.
Very interesting.
I think that's kind of it, yeah. You can do something in your head and say it's good pairing in your head, but hey, you know what? Sometimes you just gotta taste it.
Yeah.
Just gotta taste it.
I like this squat.
I'm imagining how good it would be with food.
Right?
Now that we're talking about goat cheese.
Yeah, the goat cheese, the marinated goat cheese has tomatoes, soy sauce, Worcestershire, garlic, and rosemary to it as well.
Oh,
so
that's
the saltiness
very unusual.
Brings down some of the bright flavors to it. Huh. It's very good.
I would have never thought to put soy sauce and goat cheese together. Was that a recipe you found or one you created?
It was one that my sister-in-law shared with me, and then I adapted because I didn't like it.
Good reason. Sorry, sister-in-law, if you're listening.
She's in Canada, so probably.
How did you get started making wine?
I totally fell into it. So 12 years ago, my husband and I walked into a tasting room in Solvang, because we were doing a little wine tasting there, and it was Morovino. And growing up in the Bay Area and cutting my teeth on Napa wines, I've always loved wine, and I met my husband over wine, so wine was always our thing together. But I was not that familiar with Italian varietals, and Morovino specialized in Italian varietals then too. So I went through a tasting flight with a guy behind the bar, who was Jerry Morrow, the original owner and winemaker. And it just blew my mind. I didn't think I'd ever walked into a tasting room and liked every wine. Every wine on the bar was absolutely amazing. And it was a very rainy, kind of blustery afternoon midweek, and so it was super quiet, so we got to sit there and chat with him about his story. He was a second-generation Italian winemaker. His mom was the first winemaker in his family, which I think is extremely cool because we're talking about the 20s.
Yeah. Right.
So he was coming up on 70 when we met him. He had some health issues and he was trying to retire. None of his kids wanted to have anything to do with the winery. Hmm. He had the winery up for sale. He'd had a number of offers. They were all very much in the, I want your barrels, your bins, your tanks, your fermenters. I want your grape contracts because that's where the value is. I want your wine club list, because that's where the value is. Then we're going to dump all your stuff on the bulk market and you can go away because we know what we want to do and stop what you're doing. And I think it really hurt his feelings. He really wanted to bring somebody up in the wine industry. So over the course of the afternoon, and I am just going to point out for the record, not all of it involved drinking. We walked in for a wine tasting and we walked out to the winery.
That's awesome.
Neat.
So Jerry spent a year teaching me how to make wine, and then he said, all right, got a great palate, you know what to do, call me if you need me, have fun. And 11 years and 22 gold medals later, so far so good.
That's awesome.
So far so good.
That's very cool.
You know what, when fate steps into your life and says here's everything you have ever wanted, you're crazy if you don't say
yeah,
let's go for it.
I really like this.
I loved the last one. So this is this a Sandra Basie Barbera blend?
Uh-huh.
Now, Barbera.
Those are the most comfortable
isn't
ones.
There like a...
So it's a Sandra Basie Barbera blend. It's 1/3 of the Sandra Basie that you just tasted and 2/3 of the 2015 Barbera. Not the same one we bottled as a varietal. The blended Barbera had an extra 7 months in barrel, so it's a 28-month Barbera.
Okay.
So it's a little bit smokier and a little bit spicier, but still really smooth.
I feel like overall, like generally speaking, I enjoy Barbera, but I feel like one time somebody told me Barbera was similar to like a domestic named.
A what?
You know, like there are names, there's Italian names for grapes, there's French names for grapes, there's mm-hmm. American names for grapes, and mm-hmm. sometimes they're very similar but different names.
Mm-hmm.
And Barbera, I thought was similar to a more familiar word for me. Thank you. But I can't name what it was. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think we need to pick up a couple shipments.
I think I know what you're saying, but I don't know what it is.
I really like the recipes on the website.
Me too.
Super cool.
Scary, yeah.
They're super fun. Some of them are what I like to refer to as destination cooking, which is you go into the kitchen at 8 o'clock in the morning and you come out at 8 o'clock at night, and everybody's got a happy face and a full belly, and that's a good day. Most of them are 20 minutes or less, because sometimes half an hour is too long to get dinner on the table. So this is Dolcetto. It's a very different style of Dolcetto for the Italian Dolcetto. So Italian Dolcettos, as you probably know, are done as very young, very light, very quaffable table wines. In California, we can get the grapes a little riper, so we can bring out a couple of additional layers of flavor from the Dolcettos that they have a hard time getting in Italy. So this is more similar in style to a Zinfandel.
Okay.
So a little jammy on the front, a little spicy on the back, nice acidity to bridge those two together.
Her saying that reminded me that there is another name for Primitivo. That's what it is. Primitivo.
Maybe Primitivo is the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, because I was like, there is another name for Zinfandel that's Italian. I was going to Google it.
Maybe I'm like combining,
but it's Primitivo.
Maybe I've blended them in my mind.
I think so, because I don't think that there's a... I mean, there's tons of synonyms for different wines, but I don't think there's one for Barbera.
I think there is either, but Barbera is frequently blended into Barbarescos in northern Italy, and that can get confusing.
That's not the word I was thinking of. I think you're right.
I think it's Primitivo.
Yeah, I think I was combining them.
I like this. The only other Dolcetto I've had in this area was from Classy.
I don't know that I've ever had one.
You've had it at Classy, I think.
I don't know if I've ever been to Classy.
It's very different style.
Yes, it is very different.
Have I been there?
I think you went with me one time.
Oh. I don't remember. I
or else you had it at my house, because I had a bottle of it at my house.
Very rarely see Dolcetto done as a single varietal.
Yeah.
It sounds so different than what it is. It's impossible to sell on the wholesale market.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be sweet.
Sounds like it would be a dessert wine.
Dolcetto.
So you open up a menu, and it's like, oh, I'll have a glass of Dolcetto with my chocolate lava cake. And while that's not a bad pairing, it would have been better with
your Rosa Blue. Yeah. I think the Bella Rosa was my favorite.
I think the Sangiovese was my favorite. And I think these were, like, the whites were interesting, but mostly just because I know that they were the same grape.
Yeah.
That was really fascinating for me.
Yeah. I think it's really cool to see, like, I mean, you get that when you go to different wineries, right? Like, you can see what people do with different grapes, but to know that it's the exact same wine, because the exact same grapes, just done a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Very cool. Can you tell me the story behind the labels? So, like, there's the three that are the bird, and then there's two that are the women.
So, our standard label is the hawk. He actually has a couple of very cool things about him. One is, he was created in 1994 by a local computer graphics artist. Mm-hmm. She was the first computer graphics artist in the U.S. to use Mandelbrot fractal sets in computer graphic design, and actually wrote the textbook on how to create images of that type.
Wow.
I think he has stood the test of time very nicely. We occasionally do an art label, and both of the art labels that we have on there right now are done by a friend and wine club member named Anna Green. She started out doing the Beach Blonde, because when you have two Pinot Grigios on the list and they are very different style wines, it gets very confusing. So we decided we were going to make up a name for one of them, and we happened to hold the bottle of Beach Blonde up to the light, and it's like, oh my god, that is exactly the color of Bleach Blonde hair. We're going to call it Beach Blonde. So I was telling Anna that, and she's like, well, you know, I just finished this piece of art. It's a pink mermaid with blonde hair. Maybe you'd like to review it and consider it for your label. And I'm like, no, I just want it. So we put the Beach Blonde Mermaid on the label. And last year when we were doing a red blend, she came back to me and said, hey, would you be interested in using another piece of my art for your label? And I love Anna's art. And so I said, sure. We're doing a red blend. She said, that's great. I'd really like to have it on a bottle of red wine, because I don't drink white wine, and I would certainly like to drink a bottle of wine that's got my art on the label.
Of course, that's awesome.
So we ended up doing Bella Rosa.
Very cool.
Bella Rosa has a kind of funny story. The original Bella Rosa art image, she was actually drinking a glass of red wine, which makes perfect sense, mm-hmm. right? So I submitted it to the federal government, where you have to submit all of your wine labels, and they kicked it back. And I'm like, do tell, federal government. And they're like, well, the glass of wine is actually touching her lips, and that promotes drinking, so we don't allow it on the label. And I'm like, you don't allow a wine glass touching lips on a wine bottle label. They're like, no, we don't. I'm like, Okay.
Interesting.
So Anna's like, well, we'll just pull the glass away. And I'm like, I can't afford to send it back and have them reject it again. So let's just make it grapes.
Yeah, I think that's really cool.
He's a cool label. And I think we don't have to ever fight for shelf space. But it makes me happy that if I did have to fight for shelf space, I would win.
It's definitely eye-catching.
It is. Especially against the black background.
I mean, now that she told me it's a hawk, I see that it's a hawk, but I thought it was a parrot.
Okay, we take parrot. We take parrot because he's very colorful. I will take seagull because we're at the beach. I will take turkey, but only if it's around Thanksgiving time.
I could see the turkey because from the fan, like, image in the...
You call him the Morovino duck, and I cut you off. And he's
not a duck.
And here's the other fun thing about the posters. People look at them, and depending on how much they've had to drink, you can see things. So this is the beta Siamese fighting fish, right?
Oh, yeah.
I just pulled it out. It looks like a fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the Orkin man, the guy with the hammer that smashes the termites.
Yeah, I haven't had enough.
Yeah. That's a gecko crawling around the neck of the hawk. My favorite.
Okay.
And this one you
I can sort of see that.
Oh, I see the gecko.
It. This is a jazz quartet. There's a guy playing a trumpet, there's a guy playing a drum, the piano is halfway behind, and a guy playing sax.
Yep. Yeah.
The guy who told me that that was the state of Texas, he got cut off.
I could see that, though. And and the big blob looks like a heart.
Yes, I get that. The big blob does look like a heart. But that's only half the state of Texas, my friends. Only half the state of Texas.
Thanks for listening to our episode at Morovino. We had a lovely January afternoon in Avila Beach. It was beautiful.
It really was gorgeous.
And we had some really good wines there too.
I think I liked all of them.
I did. I liked all of them.
I really liked the Sangiovese, and if I was buying wine, I for sure would have gotten that one.
And I really liked the Bella Rosa. The Sangiovese, I felt like, to me, was, it was good, but it was, I felt like it needed a little food.
That could be, I don't know, I just, like, it was really smooth and delicious, and I'm fascinated by the two white wines with the same grapes, but such a different taste.
Yes. I will admit, when she first said, we have a Pinot Grigio, I was like, oh, and I was disappointed.
I also have to say that, like, the first one, like, it kind of stuck to me.
Stunk?
Yeah, like it didn't smell good.
Oh.
I actually put that in my notes.
It
smells funky.
Did not.
But it tasted good.
I did not note that on the aromas for me. The second one, I will say, like, had more of a nose to it, like a more aromatic nose.
Yeah.
And I preferred that style. I think the first one was really nice because I think it kind of was exactly like what the name connotates, like beach blonde. Like it was sit on the beach, easy drinking.
Super light.
But the second one, I enjoyed the flavor profile more for me.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was cute in there. Like she can obviously accommodate groups because she had a big one right before us.
Yeah, they've got a really cute little table right outside the front where you can like taste. Or it looked like there was a couple tables on, like, the back patio side area as well.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
But that was really cute, and inside was really cute. It was much bigger than I was expecting it to be inside.
And, like, a cute little, like, gift shop area.
Yeah.
She had some art in there, which was all reasonably priced.
Yeah. It was all very nice. I would say, like, it's the perfect stop in Avila. You know, like, if you go and you want to do a little wine tasting and then hit the beach, maybe, like, find a bottle that you want to sneakily take onto the beach.
Perfect for that.
Yeah. Or if you're just out and want to, you know, you live in the area, maybe you take a bike ride or whatever and you get to Avila and then you're like, what do? Go wine tasting.
Yeah.
Go to Morovino.
Yeah. Great stop. Really great story. Like, the winemaker owner was there, and she has, like, a great personality, super funny, kind of landed in the job. Like, I thought it was really nice.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a great time, and we personally will be back to taste on our own, not just for the podcast, but we hope that you all will, you know, if your travels take you to Avila, stop in and taste at Morovino.
Definitely.
Cool. Well, that is it for this week's podcast, but we are ready for you to check out the app. I think we'll be ready.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll be ready, man.
Yeah, I think we are ready for you guys to check out the app, but we are saying this a little presumptuously, prematurely, even. The app is not quite done as I speak, but I think by the time we release this episode, it's going to be ready to go.
At least
in the initial form. So we would love for you to go and find it in the app store. I'm sure we will post on the website about it, so we'll have like a direct link there. Go and check out the website, centralcoastuncorked.com. And then, you know, like, if you want to continue to hear about our different tasting experiences, you should probably subscribe to this podcast, and that way you'll get updated every Friday just in time to go wine tasting on the weekend.
I mean,
we'll tell you where to go.
Even if you don't always listen to it, if you could subscribe, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That would be really helpful for us, and we'd be very grateful.
Yeah, so we can keep doing this.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we have day jobs still.
Yes.
But we
probably
would love...
Probably always will.
We would love to have more time for our hobbies.
Yes.
And until we make money, our husbands aren't going to let us just use every weekend.
Definitely
to
not.
Go wine tasting.
No.
So, anyway, we hope you guys have a great weekend. Happy wine tasting. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.